DQ. Do you ever find yourself wishing that you had a special power to change things? Maybe something like a magic lamp or a magic wand that you could just tap or wave or rub and transform an unwanted condition into something much more desirable. I know it's an appealing thought. And actually, such a desire is not that unreasonable. Modern technology has opened many doors that are really nothing short of magic. Instead of beating drums or sending up smoke signals, we can simply pick up a small electronic device, push a few buttons, and talk to people anywhere in the world. If we want to travel to another country, we no longer have to plan on taking years or months or even weeks or days to get there. We can board a jet and we can be almost anywhere in the world in a matter of hours. We live in fascinating times. Times in which technology is allowing us to put many of our fantasies into concrete form. And yet, even in times like these, we find people are still suffering. People are still living under dominion of personal hardships and a bunch of unfulfilled dreams. Alarming numbers of people are turning to drugs and other harmful things, hoping to tap a dimension that will put their fantasies within ready reach of their anxious fingertips. The desire is good, but the means just doesn't work. In fact, even the wonderful advances we've made in technology address only a small part of what we are looking for in life. And just what is it that we're looking for? What is this quest that keeps us forever searching here and there to find satisfaction? I heard a saying once, and you probably heard it as well, that which you are looking for is that which is doing the looking. Strange as it may sound, we are looking for ourselves. And yet, there's really nothing strange about it at all. The great thinkers of all ages have realized that self-knowledge is the basis upon which a healthy, successful life is constructed. The Greeks simply said, "Know thyself." Shakespeare wrote, "To thine own self be true." Khalil Gibran said in his beautifully poetic utterances on self-knowledge, "The hidden wellspring of your soul must needs rise and run murmuring to the sea, and the treasure of your infinite depths would be revealed to your eyes." Most importantly, Jesus asked this question, "For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" Unfortunately, most of us have had to learn the hard way just how little profit there is in it. Where is the self we are looking for to be found? We have looked for it in many places. We have looked for it in relationships. We've looked for it in careers. We've looked for it in religious and philosophical teachings. And now we are looking for it in our technology. But these are mere echoes of who we are. They are shadows that we often confuse for the real substance of our soul. That which we are looking for is that which is doing the looking. And that which is doing the looking is doing the looking right here and right now. Think about this for a moment. Everything that is happening in the world, everything that is happening in the universe, everything that is happening in the entire cosmos is happening at this very moment. All the words that evoke inspiration are being heard or read right now. All the actions that determine the course of history are taking place right this very moment. In this moment, humanity breathes its one crucial breath in unison. The heart of every man, every woman, and every child beats together in this singular instant. Everything that happens, happens in this now moment. Happenings do not take place in future moments. They do not occur in the past. They occur only in the present. To grasp this idea, I want you to imagine a long piece of thread over the sharp edge of a knife. The thread may be very long, but there is only one small place where it actually touches the blade. One tiny razor-sharp edge is where that thread makes its perpetually new contact with the knife. Your life is just like that. Though you anticipate a future, and though you entertain memories of the past, you are only alive in this moment. And what you do in this moment determines what life is to you. Your life, as you are experiencing it now, is a choice that you are making right now. In God, there is no anticipation of the future. In God, there is no memory of the past. The fullness of God is active right now, right here. Each new moment is a clean slate. It's an opportunity for new growth and limitless possibilities. Remember when Jesus was transfigured before his disciples? At one point, Moses and Elijah appeared on either side of him. Moses represents the past, the old law. Elijah, the prophet, represents a vision for the future. But the voice from the cloud did not say, "Listen to Moses." It did not say, "Listen to Elijah." It said, "This," referring to Jesus, "is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Jesus was with them not as a remnant of better days gone by, or as a promise for better days ahead. He represents the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, the past and the future. He represents the fullness of the now moment. Here lies the secret of eternal life. This moment is eternity. You can never step out of it. Learning to live in the now is learning to live in eternity. Knowing that you live in eternity allows you to discard the unnecessary weights of the future and the past. You and I are eternal expressions of God. Our true being is radiating out of God at this very moment. Our true self was not created in the distant past, nor will it finally be perfected in some future time. It is flowing forth out of God in its perfected fullness with each new moment. Were this process to cease, we would cease to exist. But it will not cease. When we understand that this will not cease, we understand that God retains absolutely no memory whatsoever of any of our past mistakes. We are the ones who retain it, and we are the ones that punish ourselves and others for the mistakes of the past. We are the ones who perceive a dismal future as the rightful punishment for our mistakes. We cannot blame punishment on God. God has nothing to do with punishment. We spend so many of our present moments trying to live a non-existent future or a long-gone past that we lose ourselves. And this loss is the source of all of our frustration, all of our suffering, all of our sense of powerlessness. We live a life that is out of control. We live a life that grasps for a few crumbs that fall from the table of a great feast, that was prepared for us in the first place. One of the most beautiful messages from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is found in the 6th chapter of Matthew, which reads, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not more valuable? Are you not more valuable than they?" When Jesus speaks of an attitude, a way in which to approach life that frees us from the hardships of worrying about things that we can do nothing about, in the 7th chapter of Matthew, he refers to this way as the narrow gate. He says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." The gate that leads to life is narrow indeed, as narrow as the edge of the knife, as narrow as this now moment. Living in the present is not easy in a world that calls us to grasp for a promising future while clinging to an empty past. It is not easy to lay down our anxieties or the regrets that have been habitually accumulated through a lifetime of living away from our true home in the present. And yet, Jesus would not have taught in such a beautiful and simple terms an unattainable dream that was too far beyond our reach to grasp. He was speaking to the simple, the common, the everyday people who had children to raise, who had mortgages to pay, illnesses to heal, and relationships to iron out. God has lovingly and wisely placed the magic lamp and the magic wand that has all the power to make things right, right in the midst of us. So close, in fact, that we have spent much of our life looking for it in all of the wrong places. So now we turn to the practical question. How do we find the power of the moment? How do we use this knowledge that we can only live in the now? And what about the past? And what about the future? Do we pretend that they don't exist? Do we release all of our memories? And do we throw out all of our plans for the future? Well, let me begin by saying that we do not discard the future, nor do we discard the past. We simply begin to see them in a new way. It's not the planning for the future that gets us in trouble. It is trying to live in the future, running ahead of ourselves, trying to peek around each unknown bend in the road, and thinking about the past is not what causes us problems. It is trying to relive the past, and it is wishing things would have been done in a different way than they were. This is what prevents us from living successfully in the present. So we do not forget the past and the future. We look at them in a different way. We allow ourselves to think about them, but we avoid trying to live in them. This is the first practical step to take in using the power of the moment. The second is to realize is this. You only have to be happy. You only have to be peaceful. You only have to be content. And you only have to be loving right now. You only have to be appreciative of the beauty that surrounds you right now. Most of us make the mistake of the thinking that we have to attain happiness, peace of mind, and contentment for the rest of our lives. And boy, are we ever disappointed. Now, this moment is your life. Now is the only time you have to think about doing it right. That takes the pressure off, don't you think? Jesus said, "My Father is working still, and I am working." He understood this business of really living in the now, and this is why he was successful in expressing his divinity. He worked in the now. He obviously thought about the future and the past, but he didn't try to live there. He cooperated with the will and the way of the living God. As he said, he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. The third thing that you can do to tap into the power of the present is to remind yourself of your connection with God through the use of the spoken word. You can affirm something like this throughout your day. In this moment, I come forth out of God as a new creation. I am whole and ready to come alive with new life and new power. Thank you, Father, for always being with me. The only aspect of your life that you can do anything about is that which you can deal with in this moment. Will you choose to miss the opportunity for a new life by wasting your power, wasting your real power, trying to live somewhere other than here and now? Or will you seize each new moment and find in it the real peaceful habitation of your true self? The choice is yours. And the choice you make will go a long way in determining the quality of your experience. I encourage you to make the choice to keep yourself in the present. It is the only place you can find yourself with God. Remember the three suggestions that will help you do this. Think about your past and your future if you wish, but live in the now. Know that you only have to be successful, happy, peaceful, and content in this moment, not for the rest of your entire life. And use the power of the words of truth to make your relationship with God clear and present. There is no need to wish for a magic lamp or a magic wand. You have the power and the ability you need to make your life an exciting and prosperous endeavor. Awaken yourself to the power of this now moment, and your life will take on a whole new and wonderful meaning. Shall we begin now to make this lesson practical? Will you please join me in our closing meditation? I'd like you to take a moment to get comfortable in your seat, perhaps by placing your feet firmly on the ground and your hands in your lap or at your side. Assume a position that will not call your body's attention and just relax for a moment. And be still and quiet. Let go of everything that's in your mind. And just rest in this peaceful, holy sanctuary. If you're harboring the past, let it go. If you're holding on to worries and thoughts, let them go. If you have some anger or resentment or jealousy, or even if you're thinking about what you're going to do when you go home or what your tasks are for next week, let them go. For we have only this moment. This moment to go within, deep into the center of our being, where our Father waits silently with open arms, great love, and an abiding peace. Be still, and be silent. The fullness of life is here. Right now, this very moment. In truth, my beloved, There is no time nor space. There is no past and there is no future. There is only now, this blessed moment. And in this very instant, I am with you, and I have given you everything you need for a life that is filled with all that I have. This moment is filled with my great, infinite, and unconditional love. This moment is filled with my great, all-encompassing joy. Right now, this very moment is filled with all of my wisdom, all of my knowledge, and all of my understanding. Right here and right now, my perfect peace fills every nook and cranny of the place on which you stand, as well as the whole earth, the universe, and the cosmos. Right this instant, now, this moment, your every prayer is answered and your every desire is met. There is no need to concern yourself with what is past and gone. Let it go. There is no need to worry about the future. I am here. Do not take thought for what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will put on. Take no thought for the things for which you cannot change or affect in any way. Live this moment. Live now, knowing that I fill heaven and earth, and all that I have already given to you. I am here now, blessing you, guiding you, and loving you. Abide in me so that I may abide in you now. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes his great light to shine upon you. He is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you his infinite, unconditional, and everlasting love now. Amen.